Amen and amen. Thank you, Rob. Good reading, Rob. That was how that psalm was meant to be read, my friend. That's awesome. Good morning. Great day, huh? How about that rain, huh? Woo-hoo, I love that. It was wonderful. And we have much to give thanks for this morning. If you are new to the Bridge, we are so glad that you are here with us on this summer Sunday morning. And we're here to worship Jesus together. Man, what a great start. Sing that doxology like that. And I give thanks to God that we are a singing church. It's awesome to hear the voices surround and reflect and praise to Almighty God. So before I jump in, let's pray and then let's get to work, shall we? You ready to work? Let's get to work. All right, Lord, we want you to work on us. We recognize, Lord, that that you are God and we are not. But Lord, you give us the privilege of calling us your people. You love us. You made us and we are yours. And we want to reflect your goodness and your glory. And Lord, I want to just thank you for this moment that we have with you and with these wonderful people that you love. I thank you, God, for who you are and what you have done. And Lord, I pray this morning that there would be an overflow of thanksgiving for all that you have done and for all that you are. And so, Lord, I pray that you would change us. You will mold us. You will make us more into your likeness and image through Christ our Lord. And so, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. And Lord, speak to us now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Many of you know I've been doing this thing called jiu-jitsu. Yes, all right. And you've seen my choke outs. Some of you have seen that, you know, and my feats or whatever, right? But I realized something that's very intimidating is when you begin this process, there is so much to learn. And it's very humiliating, frankly, at the very beginning because you realize how little you know. And you might be excited about that, but then you realize through this process how much you can grow and change and learn all these different techniques and moves and things like that. And my friends, sometimes I think it's kind of like that with prayer. That we recognize like, okay, I know maybe I should talk to God and maybe we do that from time to time, but there is so much more to prayer, frankly, sometimes. And sometimes if we get so awkward or insecure about it, we might just quit, right? And we don't even get the first stripe in prayer, all right? But we recognize that we can grow in this. And this whole time this summer, my hope and prayer for us as a community is that we will grow in prayer. We will push through the awkwardness. We'll push through the insecurities. We'll push through the immaturities and the things that block us from getting closer to God, getting to know, frankly, ourselves better too. When we pray, we do that as well. We begin to pray for all those that God has entrusted to us in relationship and in which we get contact. And so as we go through this little school of prayer this summer, we've been following this little acronym called ACTS. You remember this, right? A-C-T-S. We talked about adoration. We talked about the big, glorious, amazing, powerful God that we can worship and know and serve. And last week, we talked about confession. Man, that was awesome. I don't know. It was amazing to be set free to confess after we've recognized the holy, majestic, almighty, amazing God. Then we realize our own frailty and weakness and sin, and we can confess to the almighty God. And then I think what next logically flows is thanksgiving, right? So gather the turkey and the stuffing and the cornbread, all right? And gather around the family, around the table, all right? But Thanksgiving, we're gonna talk a lot about that today. And my hope for us, my friends, is that we are overcome with thanksgiving to God. Richard Foster, a devotional leader and Christian formation guy, he said, in thanksgiving, we give glory to God for what he has done for us, right? In adoration, which we talked about earlier, we give thanks and glory to God for who he is in himself. And we recognize that adoration and thanksgiving are actually very closely related to one another. And so that's all right if we give a good amount of adoration to God. Isn't that all right? We give him praise. And thanksgiving is right on the heels of that adoration. Do you see this, friends? So in the book of Colossians chapter 3, there's this one verse that's very interesting. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 3. He says this, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to indeed you were called into one body, And he says this, and be thankful. He just ends the verse. Be thankful, would you? I love that exhortation. This morning, my friends, just be thankful, all right? But we're going to see the motive for thankfulness. I gave you 3 points. People like 3 points. You ready for them? All right, thank you. All right, that's better than last week, all right? All right, that's very good. To help us prepare our hearts for Thanksgiving, we will remember, we will reorder, and out of that, we will give thanks. We will remember, we will reorder, and we will give thanks. Remember, number one. The word remember is an interesting phrase itself, right? Have you heard of the term dismember? You heard of this, right? Loss of limbs, our pets' heads are falling off, right? The attacking bunny and the Knights of Monty Python and all that stuff. Like, dismemberment is a very painful thing. And frankly, my friends, we live in a very disjointed, disintegrated world, don't we? And many of us, if we are honest, we live very dismembered lives, disintegrated lives. Our lives are disintegrating before us. The world feels disintegrating around us. And what we do, when we get to know God, we get to remember. When we remember what God has done, we begin to put the pieces of the puzzle and the brokenness and the pain back together through God's grace and his power. Isn't that amazing? And all of Scripture, one of the main central themes of Scripture is to remember. Remember who God is. Remember what God has done for you. Remember who you are, right? He's calling the people to remember all of these things. And when you remember all of this, you begin to recognize again who God is, what he has done, and who you are. And so in Psalm 118, it's this beautiful psalm of thanksgiving. We're gonna walk through that really quick, shall we? All right? If you got a Bible, go to Psalm 118. We will have it on the screen as well. If you need a Bible, there's some Bibles sometimes under the chairs. The Psalms are usually found sort of in the middle of the Bible as well. But we will remember to whom we offer our thanks. Look at this in verse 1 of 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. I love this because this is actually a liturgical psalm that would probably be read in their ancient worship services. The reader, like, I was almost doing, were some of you doing that with Rob when he was reading it? Like, his steadfast love endures forever. It's this beautiful, God is wiring up our sound and our voices to reflect his glory and goodness. Isn't that amazing? And they're doing this in the worship service. So they say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, right? You see this. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. And let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Do you get the point? It's to remind us of the covenant-keeping, loving God. He's true to his promises. And this is who we are, people. He goes on, remembers God's salvation in verse 5. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. You ever done that before? The Lord answered me and he set me free. I love that. The Lord's on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. And my friends, remember this every election cycle, these two verses. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And amen. And amen. To remember who God is and to correct our spiritual amnesia and dementia, my friends. It's to recall these things. And when we recognize who God is, we recognize if you are a Christian this morning, you know how messed up you are. You recognize this. And we talked again about this last week in confession. We confess our sin and our shortcomings and our failures before a holy, almighty God. And we recognize the beautiful rescuing grace of Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sins and died the death on the cross, raises again, and will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And that is our hope. And we remember this thing, my friends. I'm overflowed with thanksgiving to God, who said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it's better to trust him than any other human on the planet. Thanks be to God. Remember that, friends. Remember who you are. Remember what God has done. Remember what he will do. Also, the greatest need that we have is our need for righteousness. I believe everyone on the planet is trying to prove themselves in some way, shape, or form. To justify themselves, to give their reason for their own existence, to be good in the eyes of someone or something, if not even themselves. Oh, to be righteous, right? And so here in Psalm 118, we see that this righteousness is given by the grace of God himself. Look at verse 19. And in fact, the psalmist begs, he says, look at this in Psalm 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. The gift of God's righteousness has been given to me through Christ. That was not in Psalm 118. That was my preaching point. Okay, all right. Sorry, all right, here we go. But it was very good, wasn't it? All right, see, self-affirmations, righteousness. Okay, don't do it, all right? Here we go. Verse 21. I thank you that you have answered me and become my salvation, because we're all looking for salvation somewhere, aren't we, friends? You see how I just try to do my own self-affirmation? See what I'm saying, right? It's this goofy thing. Let your salvation and your righteousness, your goodness be given to you by God. And here it is, this messianic verse that we hear that Jesus himself even says. The stone that the builders rejected, the stone they thought was useless and good for nothing, is actually gonna become the cornerstone that's gonna hold the whole building together. You saw the building fall apart in Florida this week, right? You realize how important foundations and cornerstones are. And this stone that people think is useless and good for nothing, the one that is smitten and stricken, afflicted by God, is the stone that is going to hold everything together. This is the Lord's doing, verse 23. And it's marvelous in our eyes what God's going to do. And here it is. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do you guys sing that one? That's another camp song. You remember that one? This is the day. Hey, this is. You remember that one? That the Lord has made. You know that one? Some of you are like, what on earth? If you're new, again, welcome to the bridge, all right? You never know where it's going to go. It is a great song, though, right? And they just say the same thing over and over, all right? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made, all right? So we can be thankful for that. I was thankful for, I'm going to get into that in a minute, all right? I'm jumping ahead of myself. Then there's that cry again in verse 25. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And here again is this beautiful worship of thanksgiving. The Lord is God. And he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords. There's this worship here of this sacrifice being offered up to the horns of the altar. They're so excited to give what they can to God. And here it says in verse 1, you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures. I love this. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers him. And here it is, my friends. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, our inordinate anger, anxiety, and discouragement result from disordered loves. Our relational problems result from disordered loves, and our social problems as well. So what is the state of the loves of our heart? Where's our priority sheet in all of this? Where's our spiritual depth chart? What's number one on the depth chart right now? To borrow a sporting analogy. Jesus says something well important is when he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, you know what it does? Speaks. Eventually, you cannot help but talk about what you love or what controls you. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why Paul will write in the book of Philippians, he'll say this. This is, my dad always brought this up when it was chore time. I was annoying, all right? He did. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. I'm like, Dad, stop using scripture like that, all right? Anyway, I did grumble and complain when he did that. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. There's actually a missiological aspect to how we talk, friends. That our hearts, again, our reflections, or excuse me, our tongues are reflections of our heart and give voice to that, what's in our hearts. And if we look around the world, is it not true that grumbling and cynicism just rules the day? Turn on any type of TV, watch any social media feed, and how fast, I don't know what you'd call it. There's not much good news out there, you know what I'm saying, right? And it just feels so negative, and if we're not careful, it can frankly make us quite jaded, can't it? And cynical. Cynicism is a thing that people see through everything. Oh, I know everything, I'm better. You just defeat everything. It's just kind of this argumentative, negative, faithless position of a heart. If we're not careful, cynicism will rule even our hearts if we allow the news feeds to disciple us more than the scriptures, my friends. Let me say that this is free. This is no charge this morning, all right? But frankly, I'm concerned that sometimes many people, especially in the American church, are discipled more by cable news than they are by the scriptures. Because I hear it in their hearts and what they say and what they talk about. Are you tracking with me? So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as the scriptures say. And let that be our controlling and animating and empowering and life-giving speech to the world. Let us not reflect the world in cynicism and jadedness. Amen? Let's be people that possess faith, hope, and love. Rant over. Okay. But anyway, we have to be careful about cynicism. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Abolition of Man, I highly encourage you to read The Abolition of Man. It's particularly common for our cultural moment that we're in. He says this, listen to this. You cannot go on explaining away forever. You'll find that you have explained explanation itself away. You cannot go on seeing through things forever. The whole point of seeing through something is to see something through it. If you see through everything, then everything is transparent. But a wholly transparent world is an invisible world. To see through, you ever heard that line? I see through your argument, I see through it all, right? To see through all things is the same as not to see. It's actually a position of intellectual pride. And it's right there combined with grumbling. Cynicism and grumbling often go right together. John Bloom again says this. Listen to what he says. He says, grumbling will forever be the accent of hell, and gratitude the accent of heaven. Isn't that profound? Grumbling will forever be the accent of hell, and gratitude forever the accent of heaven. Grumbling is a symptom of a myopic soul. Selfishness has caused tunnel vision and has fixated on a craving or cravings. The soul has lost sight of the glory and wonder and splendor and hope that is the reborn, redeemed life. And thus it is far too easily displeased. Grumbling is evidence of soul vision impairment. My friends, and that speaks to the orders of the loves of your heart. Do you see this? When you find yourself grumbling, this is a good one. When you find yourself cynical or grumbling, ask yourself, why am I cynical or grumbling right now? You ever do that? It's a very healthy thing to do. It's a very healthy aspect of spiritual reflection and growth. To say, what is bothering me right now? Why am I so agitated or frustrated about this? Where am I placing my loves and my trusts? And reordering our lives, and we recognize, we remember who God is, and we refocus out of our selfishness, we pull out of ourselves in this moment by God's grace and his power. And gratitude, my friends, is a beautiful sign of faith and childlike trust. I saw this the other day. I was at a park waiting for Molly's softball game to start. And there were two grown men that had set up badminton net. You know badminton? There were these two dudes, they must have been buddies, and they were out there just hitting the birdie. Is it the birdie? The shuttlecock, back and forth, right? Boom, boom, boom. And they were just having a wonderful time. They didn't know I was watching them. And they were not that good, okay? They said they were gonna count their volleys, you know what I'm saying? And they were counting, they were shouting out, 1, 2, 3, you know, and birdie falls on the ground, right? Stuff like that. It was amazing. Well, I just kept watching. They're 1, 2, and they're shouting this out. And I'm just sitting there laughing, watching. And they got to 40. Yeah, I know. And they're like, then they were like kind of giddy. They started like, they're like, we did it. We got to 40. And I just remember this. And they go, and I remember this guy goes, no one knows how excited we got. We just thought we were going to get to 8. You know? I remember this. And there was that much excitement in it. And I said, oh, what joy and thankfulness. I said, well, somebody did know how excited you got. If you're watching today online, I saw you out there. Daniels Park in Lakewood, Colorado. All right? But I know you got excited. But there was something beautiful and childlike in these two grown men and seeing a little bit of joy. Does that make sense? And there was gratitude in that moment. There was no sense of selfishness and like, oh, that's, we would have hit 41 if you would have been paying attention better, you know? There was just joy. And it was just this little spontaneous outburst of praise that they didn't think anybody saw. My friends, out of that, when we recognize again who God is, we remember these things, we reorder our loves, the natural overflow is to give thanks. Paul says this in Ephesians 5. By the way, Paul says to give thanks or exhorts people to give thanks, I think at least 15 times in the scriptures. That's a lot of times, I think. He's always reminding people, you look at the Psalms are loaded with give thanks. But in Ephesians 5:20, there's this little paraphrase of this verse. It says this, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, giving thanks always and for everything? That's a lot. In Thessalonians, in the 1 Thessalonians, it says this, get ready for this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is also a free bunny trail, all right? People, whoever get trapped and say, what's God's will for my life? We just read it. I'm gonna read it again, okay? You wanna know God's will? Get ready, here it is. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always. Back up maybe, there we go, all right. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That's freeing, isn't that? You begin to look more like Jesus. But giving thanks in all circumstances, don't you know my circumstances? Anybody ever been robbed before? I've told you this story, I think. Some of you know this story. I've been robbed many times. Or I guess you say burglarized. Doggone, I don't like it. And if again, now that I've been trained in jujitsu, the arts, I'd love to just let somebody try, all right, you know? Anyway, but that's right. That's how it's so fast you didn't even see it, all right? I remember we got robbed and we were in our house and it was terrible. Like the kitchen knives were sitting right by the front door as if like somebody was gonna come home. It was like an FBI scene. Our mattresses were upturned, right? Our drawers are open. Everything is just, it's like a movie scene, right? And I'm just like, ugh. And I remember calling our pastor. I was at this little Presbyterian church in Scottsdale. And I said, Billy, we got robbed. And good pastor, he came right over to our house. He says, that reminds me of a story by a guy by the name of Matthew Henry. You ever heard of Matthew Henry? Matthew Henry was this old saint that wrote like a commentary on his own on the whole Bible. That's a lot. And he was robbed once too. And I'll never forget this moment. Billy, as I'm standing there in my house that's been ransacked, he's reading me this line. Listen to this from Matthew Henry. Let me be thankful, first, because he never robbed me before. I'm like, well, I'm not so certain about that one though, all right? This was all right. Second, because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much. This guy is just cold and calculated. He's like, well, I can go there. But do you see what he's doing here? And look at this. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. You catch that? That's pretty good, huh? That's pretty good. To this day, I remember that. To give thanks in all circumstances. But some people say, well, you still don't know my circumstances. But you don't know what's been happened to me. And so then I reached out to another friend. I remember many of you heard my friend Jerry Root before. I'm talking about him. And he did an exercise where he would ask people, what is the worst thing that's ever happened to you? He often talks to people who've been going through a lot of stuff, a lot of pain. I think he even did this exercise with refugees from Darfur, Sudan, where the genocide, well, okay, these are people who know suffering and tragedy and pain. He goes, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you? He goes, do you have it in your head? He goes, now what's the next worst thing that's ever happened to you? He gives people a moment. He goes, yeah, man. And the next thing. And the next thing. He said, I think I'm the one that has the highest record. He goes, I've only gotten to 8 before I can't keep dredging up pain of my past. He says, I got to 8 that had been attached to my mind. He says, I've never seen, in all the times he's done this, he goes, I've never seen anyone actually get to 10, which is interesting. He goes, but suppose that you could reflect and you could get to 10, to 20, to 30, right? Imagine this. The number, look at this. He goes, the number though seems insignificant when you consider all the good things that you've experienced. And he'll do the exact same exercise. Say that, what's the best thing that's ever happened in your life? And the next best thing. And the next best thing. And the next. He says, we can go on and on and on. Isn't that interesting? Very interesting. And now let me share what he says, and I'm just going to read it because he's so much smarter and better read than I am. He says, in fact, he goes, if you contrast it with the good things you've experienced, in fact, he goes, yes, have you ever seen any good come from the bad things that you've experienced? Isn't that interesting, right? Which is Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God. Joseph says it to his brothers, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good, right? He goes, have you seen good come from the bad things you've experienced? He goes, 100% of those I've asked have said, yes, I've seen good things come from the bad things I've experienced. And he goes, if you've seen good come from some bad times, you have good reason to believe that good can come from all the bad given eternity. He goes, one time I cut my finger to the bone. He said it was less than 1% of his body, but it got all of my attention, right? He goes, so we too should be tender towards those who are hurting, amen? We should. But they should never say no good could ever come from their present pain in this life, because we can recognize that God is with us even in our pain. And we can find ways to give thanks. C.S. Lewis, in his letter to Malcolm on prayer, he said this, we shall not be able to adore God on the highest occasions if we have learned no habit of doing so on the lowest. Right? Giving thanks is a spiritual discipline, my friends. Thankful for what? What can you be thankful for this morning? I have a few closing comments, and then we're going to just pray some thanks. Is that okay? All right. I told you I've been reading this book by a guy by the name of Ole Hallesby. Good Norseman. Norwegian. He wrote this little book called Prayer. All right. I didn't realize this until a couple weeks ago when I began reading about his life. He was in prison. He was in a concentration camp during World War II for his opposition to the Nazis. He writes this book on prayer. And in his book on prayer, he had a little section on Thanksgiving. I find all the really smart people on prayer and let them teach me so that hopefully I can impart something to you, then we can be inspired to pray. And I love what he said. Listen to what Ole Hallesby said. If you are as ungrateful as I often am, my friend, I like how he started with a position of humility. He recognizes his own ingratitude, right? I would pass this advice on to you. Begin by giving thanks to God, not go God, giving thanks to God for the temporal gifts you have received from him, such as physical health, the use of your mental faculties, strength for your daily task, the desire to work, house and home, food and clothing, and the dear ones whom you love and who love you. Begin with these things, and you will notice that it will become easier for you to serve and to give thanks. Sorry again, my typo. To serve and to give thanks for the spiritual gifts which the Lord has showered upon you. If someone has rendered a great service to you or your dear ones in a difficult situation, then you feel the desire to meet that person, grip his or her hand fervently and say from the bottom of your heart, thank you very much for what you have done for us. My friend, do the same to Jesus. Isn't that great? So this morning, as we begin an exercise in thanksgiving, again, this is not just one guy up here on a stage talking. This is a participatory act of worship that we do, my friends. And we expect you to engage here. If you come to the bridge, you have to buckle up your seatbelts, all right? All right? But as we do, I want us to reflect on what are you thankful for this morning? I was practicing for my sermon. I was like, man, Lord, what am I thankful for? Man, I was so thankful for the rain this week. I was thankful to see the green grass. I was thankful for the clouds. I was thankful for the mountains. I was thankful for Bear Creek, minus again those stupid allergies. Pollen, I still cannot find thankfulness in that yet. I'll work on it. But then I was like, man, I'm thankful for my wife. Thankful for Michael being able to get home after his tires nearly blew on the road in southern Utah, but didn't blow. They didn't blow. The sidewalls were coming out, all right? And I'm thankful that God allowed him to limp through the middle of nowhere all the way to Grand Junction, and that we had money to pay for a hotel and pay for new tires. I was thankful for roads that can actually transport us. I'm thankful for air conditioning. I'm thankful for my son, Brady. Thankful for my daughter, Molly. And I began to just begin to this process of thanksgiving to God for these gifts that he has given me. Thankful for the ability to ride a bike, because a year ago, I was thankful I was able to walk. I still remember when I had my nasty crash. Many of you remember that. I remember one of the first things I was overwhelmed with was thanksgiving to be able to move my hands and arms. And that my neck wasn't broken or my head wasn't on the BMX track, you know? I was thankful for that. Molly, you laugh at me, all right? She gets that bad dad joke there, I guess, you know? But I'm thankful for friends. I was thinking about that this morning. I'm thankful for friends. I thought about it this week. I am thankful for you guys. I'm so thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for what we've been through and how God sustained us through that. And we didn't make it about all the other junk in the world, but we made it about Jesus, and we've sustained through that by his grace and his power. And I'm thankful that we're united and that we love Jesus, and we're going to try to pursue Jesus and make much of him in this community. I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for our elders. I'm thankful for our amazing staff team. I'm thankful for you guys who have written encouraging notes when I'm like, oh, this is terrible. You know what I'm saying? Man, I'm thankful. There's so much to be thankful for, isn't there, friends? So we're going to enter into an exercise in thanksgiving. Can we do that? Amen. Amen, Bob. Amen. Bob will walk around the church, and I think you pray for us almost every day.
I do.
Yeah. I'm thankful for that, Bob. And I'm thankful for people who pray for us. And the prayers, God is so good. Amen. And his steadfast love endures forever, so we give him thanks. Here's the exercise. We're going to have rolling screen of these things, all right? We're going to jump ahead of a couple slides there, Jeff. I'm sorry, all right? What are three things in the scriptures that you can recount of God's wonderful deeds of which you can give thanks? Let's just recount who God is. What are some amazing deeds and acts that God has done? Secondly, what are three things in your life that you can recount of which you can give God thanks? I'm thankful for new friends that I met this week. It was fun. It's cool stuff. Oh, and then what are three, count three things today for which you can give thanks to God. How about today? Thankful for what today? And lastly, who are three people in your life to whom you can say thank you? Is that cool? And we're going to just take some time. We're going to remember. We're going to reorder. And we're going to give thanks. Does that sound good? Very practical. And so the slides are going to roll. This is time for you to write stuff down, to pray stuff through. Does that make sense? And this is our time to reflect, to remember, to reorder, and to give thanks. All right? The slides will roll for us while we do that. But let's take some time, and I'll start us out with a little prayer. God, we thank you. I think there are times our words cannot express how awesome you are. We know that, Lord. And Lord, to offer you an offering of praise, of thanksgiving for who you are and what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for your awesome power and glory. And Lord, as we enter in this time of thanksgiving, may we do this in spirit and truth. May we reorder our loves. And Lord, we are sensitive to those who have gone through great suffering and tragedy and pain. And we pray that they too will find ways to give thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, that we will see you working some things that are hurtful, painful, and bad for good. And so, Lord, we give this time to you now. Work in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Lord, we are thankful for your majesty and your beauty and what kind of God you must be that makes Long's Peak and Pike's Peak and Colorado rivers and pine forests and knits together babies and wombs and gives us the ability to see and to walk and gives us family and friends and homes and food and clothing and shelter. Gives us jobs. What kind of God you must be that is so generous, Lord, of you. Lord, I thank you for those that you've begun to set free from the chains of addiction and given them freedom in you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of rest and the gift of recreation. Thank you, Lord, for so many things. Lord, we could go on and on and on. I pray, Lord, that this whole room, every person here would be touched by gratitude for you this morning. And Lord, if we came in with an ungracious heart, Lord, that you would again soften us and find us, Lord, ways to be thankful. Lord, find that for us, Lord, and show us how to be thankful. Let it overflow, Lord, out of who you are and what you have done. This morning, we're gonna pray this. This is a little phrase from Charles Spurgeon. It's kind of an exhortation and almost a prayer. And this is gonna be our prayer as we go into singing and closing out our service this morning. But listen to this, and let's actually recite this together, all right? Listen to this. Let gratitude be awakened. Let humility be deepened. Let love be quickened. The greater our present trials, the louder will our future songs be, and the more intense our joyful gratitude. May gratitude to God permeate my entire life. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing of God's great faithfulness to us this morning.